Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul. My co-host Justin Baker and I on today's show are going to, it's sort of bittersweet, but we're going to be running through the players who would have won a trophy if the season ended today. So if we don't see any NHL season, then this is how the trophies should be handed out. It would be the weirdest end to any season ever outside of the Spanish flu year where they canceled the playoffs. But that was 100 years ago. So, Justin, you're first off, still I'm still holding strong to the fact that the league will come back in sometime in July, August. That's I think a good timeline to expect. But yeah, with what are your thoughts? When do you think the league's going to come back?
I do think the summertime definitely seems the more realistic, right? I think. You know, we might end up seeing a shortened season next year as a result. I know the league has asked teams to basically give their home ice availability in August. So that's a little optimistic that I think the league is at least, you know, assuming that we can come back and play. I think the league is thinking that we'll push it and go a little bit deeper into the summer months, which is, you know, again, a very optimistic thing. And I think it'll be weird. I'm not sure if they'll have fans in the stands, if they'll just let players go back and play. But it'll be interesting the way they schedule everything because, you know, you think during the summer, right, we have free agency, we have the trophies, the playoffs that usually go deep, and it'll be fun, I think. Honestly, I think it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think it'll be exciting to see how this all unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, there's a strong chance that this will never happen again for the rest of our lifetime. Maybe our, like, you know, people a lot younger than us, even like kids born right now, will probably never see this again.
Right.
So, kind of just enjoy this time where we'd usually be very busy watching a lot of hockey. Just enjoy whatever it is that's out there. Enjoy your house or your apartment. And the summertime, it'll be cool to have some hockey. That's usually the big downtime for it. So I agree, it'll be fun. All right. Well, let's jump into some of these trophies. Of course, some of them are already determined because, you know, the Art Ross Trophy is whoever has the most points, which would be Leon Draisaitl by a mile. He's got 13 more points than his counterpart Connor McDavid, 15 more than Pasternak and Artemi Panarin. So I think it's safe to say we're giving Draisaitl the Art Ross Trophy. That would be his first in his career. And then the Rocket Richard Trophy would go to David Pastrnak and Alexander Ovechkin, both with 48. So it would be the first tie for the Rocket Richard since 2002? Something like that, when it was a Ginla, Kovalchuk, and
Rick Nash,
all with 41 goals. Austin Matthews, unfortunately, falls one goal short at 47 goals. all right, and with that said, all the rest of them are up to us. So I say we'll just jump right into the Norris Trophy. Talk defenseman here for a second.
Wow, I think I like it. All right. So, defenseman.
There's only one defenseman with 20 goals.
Yeah.
That's Zach Werenski. And then, of course, John Carlson leads the way with 75 points, Yossi with 65 points, and then Hedman with 55. Some things to consider, not necessarily all.
Yeah, I thought about this, and obviously John Carlson's the easy pick, right? You look at the way he came out and started the season just on fire. It seemed like he was putting up a point or two every single game. And obviously in this day and age for a defenseman, that's very rare. It's been a long time since we've had a run of multiple defensemen with a point per game average. But, for me, I think I gotta give the nod to Roman Yossi. And probably my biggest reason why I think the team in front of him, right? I mean, you look at the Nashville Predators, they don't have a lot of scoring up front. While they got the names and the ability to score goals, they just haven't really done it. Whether that's, going through the coaching change, John Hines' new system, I'm not really sure, maybe what's keeping them from putting up a ton of goals as a forward group. But, Yossi's still getting it done on the back end. He looks, as young and as quick as ever, and he's still, at 65 points in 69 games. That's pretty dang good in this day and age for a defenseman.
Yes, it is. I think the reason why I'm giving it to John Carlson is just the fact that not only is he putting up these impressive numbers, he was scoring goals at a much higher rate earlier in the year. He had like 12 or 13 goals in the first 20 games. Since then, his goal scoring has really slowed down. He has 15 goals on the year, which is still nothing to shrug at, just how quickly he scored those goals. And then hasn't put those goals up again. It kind of shows maybe a little bit of some puck luck that was going his way. But 75 points in 69 games. And I think if the season had continued, we would see a defenseman with 80 points, which definitely that doesn't happen very often. Outside of like Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, to be able to hang your cap on a post next to those guys, an 80-point season for a defenseman's fantastic. And I think that John Carlson maybe has this bad rap of like he's played on such a good team. He's put up points. He was kind of known as the like offensive defenseman. But he's really come into his own, especially since winning the Stanley Cup and getting that new contract. I think that he's risen to a new level of defensive play as well as putting up these big points. And so I do think John Carlson gets his Norris Trophy here for me this year.
All right. Yeah, can't argue with that pick. I think one of the stats that sticks out to me for Carlson that I really love looking at is game-winning goals. And he's got 6 of them, which is most among defensemen. And for a guy like, Werenski, who's got 20 goals, not at the top of that list, and you look below him, Roman Yossi, whom I think is the Norris favorite in my opinion, but he only has 1. So maybe that's something to look at.
Hey, not a bad thought. Sometimes those can be deceiving. If you score the second goal of a 5-1 win, you get the game-winning goal.
Right.
But I wish that there was a stat for... I'm sure that there is, but like a more prominent stat where it says, that their goal broke the tie that won the game in the third period. Like third period tie-breaking goals. Those would be, or third period tying goals. Like those goals are the ones that make you go, okay, that was a clutch goal. You were tied in the third and you took the lead, or you were losing in the third and you tied up the game. As opposed to, in the first period, he scored the first goal in a 6-0 win. So he's got a game-winning goal, and therefore he's clutch. Not the same thing.
I'm surprised, too, with all the advanced statistics we have, that there's not really that kind of information out there. It seems like something pretty easy to track.
Yeah, I'm sure that it exists. It's just finding the right place to get the right stat. That's what is frustrating about the NHL statistics, is that there's the stats exist somewhere, but you have to go to 7 different websites to get those stats, and sometimes that's just annoying. Okay, let's go to your goaltending position. You are our expert goaltender, so Let's get your who is in your top three for your goaltenders heading up for the Vezina, and then who ultimately takes it. You give your top three, I'll give my top three, and then we'll.
Okay, my top three: Tuukka Rask, Connor Hellebuyck, and then of course Ben Bishop, who to me fell a little short last year, and I think ultimately again this year falls a little short. I won't reveal my winner. I know it's one of the other two, but I want to hear your top three first.
Yeah, it's hard not to have Tuukka Rask in there. Ironically, do you know who's second in the league in goals against average is actually Jake Allen?
Ooh, nice.
he's not winning any trophies for me.
No.
My Tuukka Rask is my number one. I actually have Vasilevsky as my number two.
Okay.
And then I also have Jordan Binnington as my number three.
Ooh, okay.
Going off board a little bit, but I do think that the way that those teams have played, like the way that the Tampa Bay Lightning have roared back and have put themselves into a home ice advantage for the playoffs, at least in the first round, I don't think we can undersell what Vasilevsky has meant. Even when they were struggling versus now that they're dominating, I think that like there's a direct direct connection to how Vasilevsky plays. I think he's more important than some people believe for this Tampa Bay team. He's also played a ton of games, played 52 games. I think that the only player to play more than that is Carey Price, who's played 58. So that's also impressive. As well, Jordan Binnington's the fourth most games. He's played 50 games, but won 30 of them, lost 13 of them. So Binnington just kind of been consistent all year. I mean, he has been almost as good as he was last year. It just hasn't mattered because he wasn't in last place coming into first. He's just been in first place all year long.
All year, yeah. Well, that's I can't argue with that, Tuukka Rask. I mean, if you look at goaltenders played above 40 games or more, he leads all of them in save percentage, and I think there's a good reason why he's been at the top of his game. But unfortunately for me, I have to give the nod to Connor Hellebuyck. I think this is his year, mostly because you look at the team in front of him, right? I think Winnipeg has kind of struggled all year to maintain a playoff spot. We know what Boston is. They're obviously at the top of the East for a good reason. They, you know, they have great players up front, great players on the back end, good systems. But, you know, Hellebuyck has sort of carried this team for most nights. You know, this is why he has the most shutouts. He's second in terms of save percentage for games played above 40. And for me, he's the guy right now that's meant more to his team than I think Tuukka Rask has to his.
That's possible. Yes, I'm not going to say that you're wrong in that sense. But I think that Tuukka Rask has just had the better season. I mean, the guy's lost 8 times in regulation, and his statistics speak for themselves. And his team in front of him, well, very good. It's not like they're. I mean, they're out of the teams that are leading their division. I mean, it's not like they're putting up tons of goals, but defensively, they're ridiculous. I mean, in the Eastern Conference, they're the best defensive team. Also, they're the best defensive team in the league. So I think that a lot of that has to be credited towards Tuukka Rask. It's not like we came into this year saying the Boston Bruins have the best defense in the league. And I think that Tuukka Rask has been a big reason why they have had such a great season. They just haven't been letting in goals.
Okay. Can't argue with that.
Let's do Coach of the Year.
Oh, okay. This one's a good one. I was a little torn on this one, so I'm glad we went to this third.
All right, let's give two of your top two. I'll give my top two.
All right, top two for me. I have to give it to John Tortorella and Mike Sullivan from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay, John Tortorella in Columbus, barely scratching a playoff spot, but they are in the playoffs currently. You know, this is always one of the ones where you're like, okay, obviously you've got the team who maybe that we didn't expect them to be good, and they've come out of nowhere and they're really good. That that team tends to get a nod. I am actually leaning towards John Cooper for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I can just really appreciate the kind of turnaround that they've had. They not quite the St. Louis style that we saw the year before, but a team that we had a lot of expectations for. They were outside the playoff picture, and they have come roaring back. So I think that he's definitely one that deserves the nod, has had to figure things out. And then an old school, new school head coach, a guy who I don't know if he's won one of these before, but has definitely, he has. In 2006, 2007, he won one with the Vancouver Canucks, and that is Alain Vigneault for the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't think anyone expected the Philadelphia Flyers to be where they are. I don't think that we wrote them off for the playoffs, but the Flyers have been fantastic. And I think that you can point to the coaching in terms of the way that this team has kind of changed their way of playing. They've been much better defensively. They've only lost 6 games at home this year in regulation, which is nothing to balk at. So Alain Vigneault gets my second pick. So who's your ultimate winner?
Ultimate winner, I think, for me, Mike Sullivan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think what he's done with that team, given the amount of injuries they've had this season. I mean, you look at it, they've had Evgeny Malkin out for stretches, Sidney Crosby out for stretches. You know, they've had to deal with, you know, I don't want to call it a controversy, but a goaltending shuffle where, you know, Tristan Jarry was the starter for a while. Now it's, you know, back to Murray. And, you know, you look at this team, they literally have only had 2 guys play an entire season, a full schedule. And outside of that, everybody else is sitting at 55, 60 games, and they've missed a big chunk of time, but yet they've still managed to sit in the top 3 all season long.
That's true. I'm going to give the nod to Mike Babcock.
No, ouch.
I'm going to go Alain Vigneault. I think that his first year as head coach, that's a year you win this trophy, when you're in your first year, because you probably won't get fired next year. If Mike Sullivan wins the coach of the year this year, he'll probably get fired next year. It's just how it goes. I guess we'll stick with the executives here, and we'll go GM of the year.
Ooh, okay. I like this. This one is a little tougher. Obviously, I think, you know, we can look at the trade deadline, and we can look at the offseason last year. But I think for me, I think I got to go. I'm torn on this one. I think I got to probably stick in the Philadelphia Flyers franchise here and give it to Chuck Fletcher. I think I like what he did at the deadline. He didn't go out and get too crazy. He brought in some nice depth guys like Nate Thompson. And, you know, I think with the struggles this team has had, you know, bringing in Alain Vigneault in the offseason was just a great move, in my opinion. And, you know, granted, Ron Hextall, the face of the franchise, moving on, and, you know, you're basically retooling a franchise that has been, you know, I don't want to say below par for so long, and you make a couple little quick moves on, you know, with the head coach, and don't change out much up front, and it paid off very, very well for this team.
Yeah. I was considering Kelly McCrimmon for the Vegas Golden Knights, just the way that I think that firing their head coach, firing Gerard Gallant, was a ballsy move, and it's worked. Bringing in Pete DeBoer, it has worked somehow. This team's turned things around. I don't maybe think ultimately it's enough to win GM of the year, but they definitely did what they needed to do. They go and they bring in a goaltender at the deadline in Robin Lehner. Like, I think that move could ultimately pay out in big ways as well. But I like the gutsiness of a general manager that says, we're struggling. We have this coach who took us to the finals, but it's not working anymore. And to be able to read that, he's been with the organization before he was the GM. He was just promoted. And as Jordan McPhee took a promotion himself. So I think he could. And then as well, I think that, oh my gosh, I didn't write it down, but I had somebody else and now it's gone. See ya. It's out of okay. there. Yeah. Yep. If it comes back to me, I'll let you know. But
as all right.
Oh, Joe Sakic is my other one.
Okay.
I think his moves in the offseason, moving Tyson Berry, bringing in Nazem Kadri, just the draft picks that he's made. Like, I think the temptation is to look at this exact year and go, all right, what did he do? You know, what did he do in the offseason? But drafting Cale Makar was genius, clearly. Cale Makar is going to turn out to be one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. Like, I think there's going to be some years he's up for a Norris Trophy. And Joe Sakic has been maybe tested and doubted along the way, but when all is said and done, you look back and you go, holy crap, he knew more than we did.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He's got this job and you and I are doing a podcast. I mean, God. The guy, you look at pretty much one of the worst seasons ever in, you know, post-lockout history. And, you know.
History? In history?
Well, yeah, in history in general, right? And still remains patient, says, okay, you know what, we're gonna get through this. We've got the right pieces in place. Has the balls to, you talk about firing coaches, has the balls to basically fire a franchise icon in Patrick Waugh a couple years back and says, we're going to move on. We're going to bring in a guy from the minor leagues, from the Lake Erie Monsters, who nobody had heard of, and says, this is my guy. This is what we're doing now. And again, just sticks with him through thick and thin, and it's paying off big time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe Sakic. I guess we're going Joe Sakic, GM of the year.
Okay.
Calder Trophy, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, this one will be interesting. Obviously, I think there's a couple names right now. You talk about Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes right now. I think those guys might be the front runners. And it's funny to me because you look at before the season started, right? We had heard about Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar. We thought those guys would contend, maybe be in the, you know, at least the top 10. In terms of rookie scoring, but we never figured these guys would be leading the charge, right?
Right. Two defensemen is dominating right now.
Right, and you look at the names that came in at the draft, right? We had Jack Hughes. We had Kaapo Kakko. We thought these two guys could be up there in terms of scoring with the opportunities they would have to play top 6 minutes. You know, we thought, okay, these guys can really, you know, make a go at it, but it's been the defenseman running away this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's three of the top five rookie scorers are defensemen. Quinn right. Hughes, Cale Makar, and Adam Fox. And you also have John Marino for the Penguins, comes out of nowhere. He's 10th in rookie scoring. So four of the top 10 rookies in scoring are defensemen.
Yeah, well, not too shabby.
That's pretty good. You know, it's unfortunate that Ilya Mikheyev for the Leafs got hurt when he did. Had 23 points in 39 games. Would right now likely be somewhere around where Kubalik is. Compare the points to the games played. That there's just so many good rookies coming up here.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of good players. I don't think that it's so. Obviously, we're going Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar. There's two of them. Who's your third guy that slides into that list? Is it Kubalik with his 30 goals for Chicago?
I'll be honest. I'm a little off the board on this one, and I'm going Mackenzie Blackwood. Going for the goaltender, I think. Okay. You look at what he's done in New Jersey, right? A team that basically traded away everything. They got rid of Taylor Hall early on in the season. But he still managed to put up a .915 save percentage, 22 wins, only 14 losses, and 47 games played, and has basically shown that, hey, I, I can play in this league when I think maybe last year when he got just minimal time, not enough to qualify as a rookie, but, you know, was basically written off and said this guy's not going to be a starter. And I think maybe he's kind of proven people wrong. And, you can maybe throw Elvis Merlikin's name in there as well. Came in to Columbus, was kind of doubted that he could be a National Hockey League goaltender, but 13 wins, you know, in 31 games and a .923 save percentage, so not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, the last time a rookie scored this many goals in a season, to me, the reason why I'm going to give this to Kubalik, 2016-17, you had Line A and Austin Matthews go off. Who are both guys who are supposed to come in and rip the league up, you know, franchise type players. Mm-hmm. Whereas Kubalik, kind of this, I think, of course, a lesser known talent in terms of, like, at the beginning of the year, we weren't like, oh, Kubalik's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. Granted, 24 years old, he's got some more seasoning. He was taken in the 7th round, 191st overall by the LA Kings in 2013. But sneaking in here, I think, if you score 30 goals as a rookie, you're having some of the, like, really some of one of the best seasons in terms of goal scoring for a rookie all time. I mean, there's very few rookies who have scored more than 30 goals in a season. So I think I've got to give it to I'm putting Kubalik as that third, but he's not going to win it. I have a hard time not picking Cale Makar.
Okay. Now, me, I think I would probably go with Quinn Hughes, but I'm interested to hear the argument.
Well, so Cale Makar, he got hurt, right? So he's played 11 less games and really has the same amount of points. So if we throw in those extra 11 games, he's probably in it. He might have more like 60 points. So there is that. I also like Quinn Hughes. I understand on the one hand, he doesn't have as much talent around him. He's being relied upon maybe a little bit more. At the same time, there's something to be said about being able to come into a finely tuned machine and do what he's doing. He has become the best defenseman on this team very quickly. He's now relied upon by a very good team to be the best defenseman on this team. And I think when you see guys like a Nathan MacKinnon, a Rantanen, and guys that are working so well with that are, you know, some of the top players in the league working so well with Cale Makar, that I think what it's going to show is that through the next maybe like 4 or 5 years, as this team sticks together, they're only going to get better. Whereas Quinn Hughes, it's a different scenario where, you know, he's got a couple good players around him, but there still is a lot of work to be done. And so I think because he's relied more heavily on, there's maybe, I don't know, there's less pressure, I think, where he is at. Whereas Cale Makar, he has to be great. Because Colorado is, like, they should win the cup. Like, I think it's cup or bust this year. Whereas Quinn Hughes, it's like, hey, if we make the playoffs, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't argue with you at all when you take a look at in terms of pressure, right? I mean, obviously, Cale Makar, like you said, comes into a team that's starting to get on the up and up. They're starting to roll, and they've already got their systems in place. But I look at Quinn Hughes, in my opinion, a guy who basically came in and changed the dynamic of this team, right? Allowed this team to be more aggressive on the power play, to be, a faster team up front and not have to worry. I don't want to say not play defense, but, you know, they could take more chances now because a guy like Quinn Hughes is back there, and he's able to get the puck up going, you know, get the play going faster, whereas before, you know, it basically was Edler and that was it. And now you have options now on the back end where now, if, you know, Edler's not out there, you have another guy who can really be dynamic on the back end and has really sort of, you know, changed the way this team plays. And I think, you know, Travis Green and his staff has adjusted real nicely, and, you know, it doesn't hurt. JT Miller's come in there and has surprised a bunch of people. So, you know, like you said, if this team makes the playoffs, that's great. Good for them. But, you know, Cale Makar, like you said, is coming in there to a system where, you know, they're already good. And I think, you know, Quinn Hughes taking this team and helping change the dynamics so they are good now and can compete for a playoff spot, I think, to me, gives him the slight edge.
Okay. Let's go to our final trophy. And that is the Hart Trophy. We're just going to put the Hart, the MVP Hart, you know, in the what's the other one called? I always forget it now because it was always called the Lester B. Pearson, and I can never.
Oh, the Ted Lindsay.
Ted Lindsay, there you go. I was like, it's a guy in Detroit, but not Gordie Howe. your ultimate MVP. Let's go your top three for MVP.
Yeah, top three for me, maybe a couple surprises, or I shouldn't say a couple, but maybe one surprise in there. I think I'm going to have to go with Artemi Panarin, Nathan MacKinnon, and Leon Draisaitl.
Okay.
No Connor McDavid, surprisingly.
No Connor. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to argue not, like, when you go, okay, I don't think that you can have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in there at the same time.
Yeah, I
agree. When you consider that Draisaitl has more points per game, granted it's 0.03 more, but he's played seven more games, which those seven games were huge because this team is, you know, they're floating on the edge, or they were floating on the edge for a little while. They were in the playoffs. They were out of the playoffs. We were worried that they were going to fall out when McDavid got hurt, and they were able to keep things together. Certainly. I mean, Pasternak with 48 goals leading the league in that, and he's got 95 points to boot. He's been a key point of the Boston Bruins. I think he kind of gets lost because of who he plays with. We go, well, yeah, but he gets Brad Marchand, and who is sixth in league scoring, and then of course Bergeron. But I also hesitate a little bit with who is your third? Your third was
Panarin. Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, and that to me is the biggest unknown. Like, I don't think that you can't win this trophy if you don't make the playoffs. It just like, I mean, I guess you can because Connor McDavid's won it before and missed. No, he didn't. Has he won this trophy and missed the playoffs?
That's a good question, actually.
I don't think that he has. I think the year that he won it, they made the playoffs.
Let's see. Hart Trophy in 16-17, and...
Yeah, and that's his only Hart.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you got to make the playoffs in order
and
to...
And they made the playoffs, so there you go.
Right now, my hunch is saying, like, he's, like, fourth, because they're not in the playoffs. If they were to make the playoffs, I think he's a pretty darn great candidate for our trophy because they pretty much make the playoffs because of him. But I think they'll probably miss the playoffs, so I'm going to leave him off. And in that case, I would go Draisaitl, MacKinnon, and that third one is difficult to pick just because they're... And there's just so many great names, but they're, you know, like if the Buffalo Sabres were in a better position, I think we would all pick Jack Eichel. Like, we had talked about Jack Eichel being somebody that we would pick earlier in the year when we were doing this. At the same time, I don't know if there's a goaltender who's been dominant enough to win this trophy. I think that with your argument about Connor Hellebuyck, you could maybe include him. If the Winnipeg Jets made the playoffs, would it be because of Connor Hellebuyck? Now, here's the interesting thing. I think I'm willing to put Hellebuyck in the Hart Trophy conversation, but he doesn't win the Vezina for me.
Interesting.
Can that vibe? Like, all right, here's the best goalies in the league. However, I don't think that they were necessarily the absolute MVP of the league because those teams with another goaltender might have been able to still make the playoffs and do just as well in the regular season. But without Connor Hellebuyck playing the way that he is, the Winnipeg Jets are toast.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think I'm going to... My third has got to be Connor Hellebuyck as for the Hart Trophy voting. Ultimately, I'm going Leon Draisaitl. Doesn't matter. Leon Draisaitl wins my Hart Trophy because I don't without him and Connor McDavid, like without both those guys, they don't make the playoffs. But Just because he's played more games, put up more points. I think it's Leon Draisaitl's turn. It's the Messier to the Gretzky. It's Messier's right. turn this time.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I completely agree. I think Panarin, even though he, to me, is my number three in this category, he ultimately finishes third because I think the Rangers just, they're, you know, not in a playoff spot right now. Ultimately, they've been fighting for a playoff spot all season long. Had they been in a position like Edmonton or Colorado where, you know, they've been considered a playoff team, then you could say, okay, yeah, I think maybe you might be able to give Panarin, you know, a little bit of a better case. But ultimately, I think, to me, I give this to Nathan MacKinnon, and mostly because you look at the team that he plays with, right? Obviously, they're expected to compete for, not only a playoff spot, but, you know, the Cup this year. But he's got nearly 40 points more than the next guy behind him in terms of scoring on that team, and that's kind of the same situation as a Taylor Hall, right, when he wanted a New Jersey. No one else was anywhere close to him in terms of production. I think for Leon Draisaitl, for his case, you look at voters, right, and I think a lot of people are going to be torn between giving it to McDavid, giving it to Draisaitl. I don't know if we'll still have that Gretzky-Messier vibe going on there. I think some people are going to be loyal to McDavid and, he's still putting up the same good numbers, yada, yada, yada. And there's going to be some split votes, and I think ultimately that kind of propels MacKinnon to sneak away with this.
Yeah, I think with MacKinnon, I don't think people would realize that their second highest scoring forward for the Avalanche is Andrei Burakovsky.
Right.
With 45 points. Like, in terms of forwards, MacKinnon almost has 50 more points than the next forward.
It's crazy.
And the next highest scoring center is Nazem Kadri. He has 57 more points than Nazem Kadri.
Yeah. I mean, granted, had a lot of these guys stayed healthy for most of the year, like Kadri and Rantanen and Landeskog, maybe we might have, you know, a different tune here. But, you know, the numbers are what they are.
Yeah. Yes, they've been hurt by injuries. They still score. They score a lot of goals, but it's just, I mean, MacKinnon is the guy who creates most of them. He's at this point, he's created, oh gosh, you know, about 30% of their goals, a little more than that. So pretty intense, almost 40% actually. So pretty
insane.
Crazy what he's been able to do. Well, with that said, are there any other trophies? Do we want to do the Mark Messier Leadership Trophy of the Year?
No, I mean, we could maybe touch the Selke, right? Best defensive.
Oh, yes. How could I forget about the Selke?
Yeah.
That's my fault.
No, it's fine.
The Selke is the most the Selke.
It's the Bergeron Award right now. I mean, right?
I don't think he gets it this year, though.
No, I agree with you, actually. He's put up some good numbers, right? To me, honestly, I kind of want to give this to Sean Couturier, in my opinion.
Okay.
I like what he's done. I think Philadelphia's, you know, played great defensive hockey. He's been just a threat defensively his whole entire career. And I think, you know, he's starting over these last couple seasons, including this one, he's managed to show his offensive side. And I think when you look at what the team has done, not losing at home more than just a couple times, I think it's proven, you know, how good he is on both sides of the ice.
Okay, I am going to give this trophy to Austin Matthews.
Really? Okay.
Yes, really. A guy who scored 35 even strength goals. Guys that score a ton of power play goals, you know, that's where the vast majority of your production is coming from. That's not a defensive part of the game. Mm-hmm. When you're scoring on even strength and the majority of your points are on even strength, it means that you're doing something right in order to get that puck. And then as well, I think being a center and I think Babcock prepared him well. I think he taught him how to be defensive, and then everyone stopped playing for Babcock because they hated him. Sheldon Keefe comes in, and all the things that Babcock had taught Matthews in terms of the way to play as a good two-way center, they started to show. And ever since Sheldon Keefe has taken over, now he might not win this trophy this year, but I think you will see Austin Matthews win a Selke trophy when all is said and done.
Boy, that'd be great. Another name I'll throw out there too.
Panarin, you could certainly. 71 even strength points leads the league.
For me, actually, another guy to keep an eye on, Sebastian Aho, right?
That's an interesting
one. You look at, 66 points in 68 games, but 44 even strength, 17 on the power play. However, he's got four shorties, five shorthanded points, second most in the league. This is a guy that, you know, like all the other candidates, plays 20 minutes a night, and he's, you know, he's been fine-tuning his defensive game. I think in a few years we might, you know, hear his name for, you know, that trophy at some point.
All right. Well, there's your the trophies that might be, that could have been, that hopefully won't be, that will change. I mean, things shouldn't change too much in the last 10 games of the year, but hopefully we have a full 82 or some kind of rounding out. We all get the same amount of games played kind of thing. We'll see what ultimately happens. But on our next show, you will undoubtedly hear the New Jersey Devils top 10 all-time players. So be looking for that. And Justin, any last thoughts?
No, just, I mean, continue to stay safe out there. I know, you know, these, obviously, the times are what they are right now, you know, a lot of uncertainty, but, you know, we're going to bring you the shows. We're going to keep bringing you the podcast. So keep listening. Tell your friends, tell your mom. And
Your mom. There's no one I'd rather listen to this podcast than your mom. Whoever you are listening to this right now, your mom. She needs to listen. All right. You can find us on Twitter @OT Hockey Talk, also on Instagram. We will talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.